Shabbat Shalom. This is the day that the Most High has made. I shall rejoice in it, and we shall be glad. Let's get ready to go before our Abba in prayer before we get into this Sabbath lesson today, a wonderful lesson of just reading some of the scriptures to reaffirm the return of Israel and the jubilant days that are soon to come after we get through Jacob's trouble. Hallelujah. For our Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Father, bless the Israelites today that are keeping this holy day, this Sabbath, which is a sign between us and you, and we thank you for it, for the opportunity. Forgive us of all of our sins, Father, as we acknowledge you to direct our path. May your people find rest from their heavy burdens today and be set free from the burdens that cause plagues and sicknesses and mental anguish. We thank you for the victory that lies in you, for you are a victorious Yah. And we thank you for our dear brother and Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach, whom this world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. Thank you for the awakening, for the deliverance, for those that are coming into the knowledge of the truth and being set free. We thank you in advance and we give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, well, we got some reading to do today. I am Be the Preacher. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. And this show is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. Restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. Those that wish to come in and sojourn, you may do so, but be taught, because the oracles were given to the Israelites to teach the world, be a light unto the world and salt unto the earth, and worship the Most High. So without any further ado or announcements, I'm going to get into this lesson. We're going to talk about the return of Israel. It's a jubilant time where everybody's getting excited, but we got some dark days ahead. And we will endure until the end because he has not appointed us unto wrath. So it's not for us to have to go through the torment. There are plagues coming upon the heathen and upon this earth that's about to be destroyed. And as I've mentioned in broadcast before, Satan knows that his contract is about up. We find that when Christ entered into the tomb, the Garden of Gethsemane, the tomb where the demon-possessed men were, and they came on and asked him the question, have you come to torment us before our time? Indicating that they have knowledge of the end of time for themselves, and they felt like he was a little early, that they had more time. Well, we're seeing an onslaught of chaotic times, because Satan knows he's running out of time. He's doing everything he can to attack the children of Israel. but we shall persevere. And the main way we do that is by adhering to these statutes, laws, and commandments, showing our allegiance to the community, which is the kingdom of Yah. All praises to the Most High. I'm going to go into a scripture out of the book of Esther because it talks about our next upcoming holy day, which will be in February. It's a little bit off, but I don't want you to be distracted by all these Christmas trees and Christmas lights you're seeing that Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, speaks against. I want you to have hopes for the next day that we have. Know how it comes about, but it also talks about the deliverance from captivity. So it's going to lead into the other scriptures I have about the return of Israel coming out of Malachi 4, which is a prophetic book written for this remote generation. And then we'll get into some other precepts that will help to adjudicate everything and tie everything in. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start at the 11th verse. My key verse is the 17th verse, but I want to give you a little context to this chapter. And we see where Esther and the rest of the Jews of the time are getting ready to be delivered. And we had Mordecai. Well, you should be very familiar with the story of Esther and Haman, how he sought to destroy us and the different things that transpired, and hopefully you've read the extension of Esther in the Apocrypha as well. Let me go to the 11th verse. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Now that's the time we keep the holy day. That month of Adar would be around the time of February. Verse 13, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. The letter, the decree had been out that we had a right to protect, defend ourselves against these people. And that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. As we know, Mordecai assisted Esther, who was his niece. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Now listen to this. This is key. Verse 17. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Here you have another conversion during this time of Persian captivity. The fear fell upon them of what the Jews were getting ready to do to their enemies. The king had given them the right to defend themselves, that people began converting to become Jews. All throughout history, there's been conversions, and we're dealing with it right now. But right now, the fear is that the people who are imposters and acting like us are in fear of their world crumbling and them losing power because they want to be at the top of the pyramid. But the foundation is awakening and shaking themselves from being a foundation for these people. We've been dealing with conversion for centuries, people. But now they felt like we were just so asleep, and they were hoping that this day wouldn't come where the awakening is taking place. Let's read some more of this story in chapter 9 before we get to the book of Malachi. And I want to say, although there are conversions, before I get into chapter 9, let's be clear. It's not a get out of jail free card. Revelations 13 and 10 makes it clear that he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that has killed with the sword, that would be the lynchings, the hangings, the burnings of the Israelites,
you must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Who are the saints? The children of Israel, according to Psalms 148. We patiently await the recompense and the revenge that will be handed out by the Most High Yah. There's only going to be a remnant of the heathen and Gentiles being saved. I have a problem with those that convert, that come over and suddenly want to be leadership amongst the Israelites and have not gone through the atrocities that my people have gone through, but want to reciprocate all the awards, and the converters become what we call today culture vultures, and feeling like they are in a plight just as much as us. All you ever hear these Khazars and the Khazarian Jews and the other ones, escapes my name, from the Caucasus Mountains, Ashkenazi Jews, all they want to talk about is the Holocaust, and records have been found to disprove the amount of people that were destroyed. But that was them, Germanics, fighting each other. And believe it or not, these were people that were trying to act like they weren't German and trying to take on the identity of another people that have been forced into slavery and scattered all over the earth and running from their lives. So in order to shift their fight with each other, there were a group, the Ashkenazis, that said, and they're notorious for this, go to the 4th century during King Bulan. These people are notorious for killing people, stealing their identity, and hiding in other countries and masquerading. They're notorious for sacrificing and worshiping Satan and worshiping Moloch. I know it's harsh, but that's why I'm shadow banned, censored, everything. But I just got to tell the truth, and you do the research of everything I'm saying. So they will quickly always try to bring up this one event, put the movies in our face, but nobody wants to talk about how the king of Belgium went down to the Congo and killed 9 million of our people, how 100 million slaves were killed during the transatlantic slave trade, 50 million were killed during the sub-Saharan slave trade. And then let's not even begin to talk about Jim Crow era and the lynchings and the hangings and the beatings and the burnings. And it's going on till today. And you have the nerve to mention to me a Holocaust that you can't even confirm the number. It changes. There weren't even 6 million in your population at that time when you were moving as a people. I am from the tribe of Shem, so I don't have the ability to be anti-Semitic. Let me explain something to you. Well, let's finish Esther, and then I'm going to get into a precept out of Zechariah. The 9th chapter. Now, in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. We flipped the whole thing upside down. It's getting ready to happen again, people. This is why this Purim, February, around what this world celebrates Valentine's Day. We have Purim, and it's a celebration of this victory here. So everything was turned contrary. We had rule over them. The king put the edict out. Verse 2, the Jews, that would be Israel, that had been changed because they weren't calling us Jews back then. We knew we were the Israelites and we were various tribes. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. So we came together ready to lay hands. The only other time I found that is in the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah had to chase off the people that were trying to sell to the Israelites who were keeping Sabbath again. Nehemiah told them, I and my soldiers will lay hands on you if you come over here with those food trucks again trying to sell food on the Sabbath. I will lay hands on you. Israelites, notorious for laying hands on you. It's coming again. Hallelujah. On such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. They were scared of the Israelites as they saw them getting ready to come together and do damage and lay hands. That's how it is with you right now. They don't want to see this awakening. Do you know when those Israelites went out to the Barclays Center to support Kyrie Irving that there were 6,500 fake rabbis, Ashkenazi rabbis that showed up and the buses pulled up and a couple of the leaders got off and saw the display and said, nah, let's go somewhere else. I don't think we want that smoke. There's something about how they don't like to see three or four of y'all even in the break room next to the water cooler talking, because it's a fearful thing, because there's a recompense coming. Might as well get ready for it. Things that you've done to all of our leaders from the beginning of time. Things that you did to Fred Hampton, who was only 19 years old, walked up in his house and shot him at 2:30 in the morning while he was in his bed with his wife. You, some cowardice people. I digress. On such assault their hurt, no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of swords and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the place, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And Portion, Dafa, Dalfon, and Aspatha, and let me freeze. I don't have to call these names. This celebration that's coming in February is just as great as the one that just passed, the Feast of Dedication, because that was when the Maccabees brothers took back the temple as well. So the connectivity of these two holy days is about us taking back and slaying and destroying and killing. Our God, Yah, is a man of war. This is why they don't want us in the Old Testament in the Christian church. You don't need to read that. That's done away with. That's a lie. He's a man of war, and there's going to be more war. He's a warrior, as I just read in Revelations. Those that have gone into led us into captivity, you're going into captivity. And then I want you to know, even though you convert, like chapter 8 and verse 17, and you become with us, you come with us, and you want to fight with us and be down with us, there's a place for you. You're not coming into the gates, because the people coming into the gates are the bloodline Israelites that will be in New Jerusalem. I'm going to read that to you in 1 minute. Give me a second. Verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of the Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the place, and the 10 sons of Haman. That was the one who set this thing up. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee? Or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? Then said Esther, if it pleases the king that it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged. Hang them. They weren't Israelites, and they saw our harm. They were trying to destroy us and kill us. Esther said, let them be hanged if it pleases the king. Take me to the king. And the king commanded it to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. But the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month of Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan. But on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested they, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. I'm going to end that right there. So the fear fell upon all those who were not of Haman's court and their soldiers, and they all converted and tried to hang with us. There will always be a remnant trying to hang out with us. And so when you come, come. But you don't lead. You don't guide. It's not for you to teach and give the oracles or try to put heavy labor upon us or nothing. Let me help you out. Let's go to Let's go to Zechariah. Let's go to the book of Zechariah, 14th chapter. I'm going to start at the 9th verse. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. This is going into the millennial reign. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate. We're going to inhabit the place, Benjamin's gate, unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate. What is the gate? Spoken of in Revelations 22 and 14. Those that do the commandments will have a right to enter into those gates. And each gate in the book of Revelations, it tells us, is named after one of the patriarchs, the 12 tribes. There's a gate of Benjamin, Judah, Levi, Naphtali, Asher, Reuben, and so on. And those of those tribes will enter in through those gates, and they will inhabit the lands. Let me read more so you understand. Unto the corner gate and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses, there will be wine in the kingdom. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Everybody that's fighting against Jerusalem, Zion, the Israelites, will be destroyed. Those with secret hate, those who are racist, those who don't like Israelites in secret, their flesh shall, listen to what's going to happen before we go into the millennial reign, during this great war, this apocalypse. Many say this is nuclear fire and falling out of the fire. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouths. Sounds like a nuclear devastation to me. That a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. They're going to begin to destroy one another. Got a precept for that, 2 Chronicles 20 and 22. Before we went into battle, we sent Judah to the front of the battle to give praise. And while we were singing praises, the spirit of Yah came down and caused our enemies, Amasir, Taman, and I can't remember the third one. They began to fight each other until they destroyed one another. We didn't even have to fight. Through worship and praise, the enemies begin to turn on each other. We see it happening again right here in Zechariah 14. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Most High shall be among them, that they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. Judah will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathens in this world right now, Jeff Bezos money, Gates money, all around shall be gathered together, gold, silver, apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left after all this destruction, nuclear destruction, wars, fighting, Judah and Benjamin fighting with the return of the king, our Messiah, as spoken of in the book of Jude. What's left? Let's listen to what's left. Because you're getting so happy, you little converts coming in, trying to take over, boasting against the natural branches, saying that we all the people, we spiritual Israel. No, slow your roll. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year. Every nation, there will only be a remnant of people left and not people that despise. So you have to remember that after a thousand year reign, Satan will be loose for a little season, and there's going to be a remnant of people that's going to turn back to Satan and try to come up against us, and they'll be destroyed immediately by the word of Yah. immediately they'll be destroyed with one word from our Messiah's mouth. And then you'll have the great white throne judgment and the second resurrection. And then we go into eternal peace, the 8,000 year, which is eternal rest, no more evil, no more. Satan will be utterly destroyed. There's only a remnant of you Gentiles and heathens that are going, but you're going to be on the outside. Listen to this. Don't get it twisted. You're not going to be dancing all around in Jerusalem. That wasn't saved up for you. Zion is for Zion. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that those whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King. Are you listening to this verbiage? He's saying, and those who don't come when it's time to come to Jerusalem, see, they're on the outside, this remnant. You're not in there. You're on the outside. And every holy day, you have to come up. When we were scattered during the time of the Feast of First Fruits, which is also now known as Pentecost, Israelites came from all over the world to come to Jerusalem because the temple was still there to celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. And that's how they were able to partake of Pentecost when Apostle Peter came out of the upper room and said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And they were speaking in unknown tongues. And everybody from the other nations that spoke other languages said, howbeit these people are speaking in my language, my tongue, what people call now speaking in tongues, speaking other languages that these people could interpret. So this is how it's going to be during the millennial reign. Those who are not in Jerusalem have to come to Jerusalem for every holy day. And he's telling them that it shall be that whoso will not come, this is prophesied, Zechariah, up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem. So you're not in there, you outside, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, the Hamites that have no rain, if you get upset and come on, I ain't going because you're trying to hold back rain from us, there shall be the plague. He will send another plague during this time to destroy those people during this time, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that came not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that do not come to keep the feast. You're on the outside, and you will be expected to come and worship with Zion during our holy days. And if not, you will receive of the plague. Don't get it twisted. Zion will be partaking of the tree of life, eating from those leaves, because we will have eternal life. Hallelujah. I say that because I don't like the audacity of the grafted in that have been warned not to boast against the natural branches. But I do love all. And I know that you have a right to come in. But you must be submitted and keep these commandments, statutes, and laws to be a part of our kingdom and to be a part of the mixed multitude. Still with the return of Israel real quick. This shouldn't take long. I'm going to go to the book of Micah. And I put down here Malachi. That was my mistake. Give me 1 second to fix this. It's not Malachi. It's Micah, the 4th chapter. There we go. A remote prophecy. And I want to say that most of the books that they told you not to read are books that help us to navigate in these last days, because we are the fig tree generation. We are the generation that will see the return of Yah. I am saying that. And I can't say that would apply to you if you're 90, because you've seen a lot of days and you're actually operating on 20 years of grace because he promised us 70. I'm in reference to the generation. There's a generation that's alive in the earth now that will receive see the return of the Messiah because of prophecy that is being fulfilled and where we stand in time right now. All the lies are being unraveled. Micah, the fourth chapter, the first verse. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. It's like confirming the book of Zechariah. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of God of Jacob. And The other nations are saying amongst themselves what we just read in Zechariah, like it's a holy day, and they're saying this, let us go up to the house of God and of Jacob, and Israel, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I have to pause on that. That precept is so powerful. You're not teaching. You'll be coming up to be fed by Israel, the children of Israel. The Israelites will be teaching at Zion, and you will be coming to be fed the word as we teach the law. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And he shall judge, who's he? Israel. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. You're going to go and will be put in check by the Israelites. You had this dispensation, Esau, to rule. Your leadership time will be over. So don't, because you're in the mixed multitude, don't get it twisted. Let's read verse 3 again. And he, Israel, shall judge among many people. This, every time I try to read the Most High, Ruach just pops verses in my head. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 chapter told us not to even go before the courts with Israelites. He said, know not that you want to be judging angels and you can't handle your business. He said, don't go before the heathens to be trying to handle a matter. I had to hear that when I had to deal with a heathen acting wannabe family member that wants to fight over something that they don't even own. Most High said, nah, you're not going to use the money I've given you, that is my money, to go pay the heathen and stand before the heathen and fight over some covetousness and idolatry. And it's confirming it here in Micah, the judging that we will be doing. It says, and he, Israel, shall judge among many people, and we will rebuke strong nations. And they shall beat their swords, no more fighting, into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Pause while I go to verse 4. Does that sound like Israel right now? Over there fighting against people, Palestine, fighting over that state? Does it sound like there's no war? Does it sound like that the nation that inherited, that stole our land, that they got from the Rockefellers in 1948 through a Balfour Treaty from the United Nations? Does it sound like this right here where they're not studying war? No, they are still studying war. Satan is a liar and the father of them all. Verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Israel will return from captivity. Verse 6, in that day, said the Lord, will I assemble her that halted, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it again. Y'all that soul journey with us, mixed multitude, your people didn't go through the afflictions that we went through. Your people Lick-Flay after church on Sundays had a barbecue, which meant not meat. They were barbecuing my ancestors and burning them at the stake for whistling at a white woman or doing something silly or something they would just conjure up. You didn't suffer. I'm so sick of people trying to compare and equate a suffering. There's no comparisons. And we did it to ourselves by disobeying Yah, Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, because he came to us on a mountain and gave us the laws, and we still disobeyed him. We were in his presence. No other nation has been in his presence like that or received the oracles. So this thing of inclusion and gentrification, it has to stop. Get in where you fit in and be grateful for that. Because the whole thing is to try to make it off this little planet alive when Yeshua comes back, according to the book of Jude, with 10,000 of his angels and saints. And we go to war on y'all like we just read in Zechariah. Just hope that you make it through the fire. Verse 7, and I will make her that halted a remnant and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them. There's only one people in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? If thy counselor perish, for pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Most High, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron. I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. Thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth, the return of Israel. So, just to go back over Esther 8 and 17, that conversion, and I can show you many more conversions, even during the time of Maccabees, people just converting. That don't mean you getting in, you going. Better get in where you can fit in with a humble heart, because Paul, Shaul told you, you can't be sitting up here boasting against the natural branches. Now, what that mean? That doesn't mean bragging like, oh, we y'all got grafted out, y'all just broke it off because y'all so bad. And I've heard a lot of people say that of you other nations. He broke y'all off because y'all wouldn't obey, so now we took your place. That's a lie. And he's warning you to stop with the arrogance. So it's not just you boasting with your mouth. It's your arrogance and your stance amongst the children of Israel right now. You're not taskmaster in any kind of way over an Israelite. Humble yourself. Because only a remnant of you all are making it in. And we do know two-thirds of our people will be destroyed. But there's going to be quite a few that will make it that are willing to walk this straight gate right now and strip themselves and come out of her, my people, and strip themselves from this world. How about you? Are you ready to turn your back on this world? Can you do without the accoutrements of this world? And say, for Yah I live and for Yah I die. It's the only way you're making it in. Come out of her, my people. All praises to the Most High. I hope to start doing Wednesdays again and start talking to us in a natural way about breaking the curses, whether they be generational, Willie Lynch, Deuteronomy 28. But as we're preparing for this return of Israel, we got to do some inventory. Start talking about some of the plights with our people, like comparative self-worth, low self-esteem, so many other things that there's psychological terms for, but we don't even realize that we have not been delivered from stuff that has been ingrained in us subconsciously. So let's just start maybe a little 30-minute show on Wednesdays to discuss these things. All right, that's been my time. Listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Hallelujah. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Kwam Yasha Allah.